Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut it! Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, and that there is Rex Hupke. We missed you all. I bet you missed us. Actually, I want to take a moment and say thank you to everyone who weighed in on my request of, like, if you actually would like to hear a supercut of us swearing, let me know. I really thought it'd be crickets, and I'd be like, see, that was a dumb idea. No one wanted to hear it. But no.
Yeah.
The people have spoken, Hupke.
Yes, there is.
They want the supercut.
There is a thirst out there.
Here's the thing with that. I know how to edit audio. Do you know how to edit audio?
Mm-mm.
See? So let's talk about the division of labor of this here supercut.
That had crossed my mind. I was like, but I think you can teach me how to do it, and then I can do it. Well, wait, I take it back. I mean, how do you do it? Do you do it on, like, I can do stuff on GarageBand.
Literally any platform you would like.
Okay.
Because that's going to be a huge task. Because what we're going to do is listen to every show.
Oh, God.
Mark all the swearing.
You lost me at listen to every show.
Pull all the swearing out. Clip it all. So there's a lot of downloading. There's a lot of memory. There's a lot of stuff involved.
Yeah. No, I can do stuff on GarageBand. I'm adept at that.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to do then.
That's part of my professional DJ career that few know about.
Oh, jeebus.
Yes.
Okay. So what's on your mind today politically there, Rex Hupke?
Well, there's this Donald Trump guy who now that he's lost Hope Hicks, who, I mean, people have sort of throughout this whole tawdry affair have said that, you know, so-and-so, some person acts as a stabilizing influence for our egghead in chief. And I have never really quite bought that, except that pretty much the second Hope Hicks left, we're now getting, like,
daily
tweet storms that are so just monumentally filled with garbage. It's amazing. I mean, the stuff about the board, he's gone heavy back to his immigrant
stuff. The border
stuff
is,
yeah, he's really
super cray.
So he's obviously feeling like he's losing his base a little bit somehow, because he's heading right back to that. Now he says he's going to send the military to the border, which actually is not unheard. That has happened before. That happened under, I believe, under Bush, and I think it actually happened at one point under Obama when there was a large influx of children coming. But that's kind of confusing, because they say we're sending the military. They're actually sending the National Guard, which is, yeah, I mean, that's the military, but it's not like they're sending, you know,
paratroopers.
Tanks, right. Yeah, they're going to line the, you know, and they're all going to be standing there with their guns.
No, because that's for his parade.
Right, yes, we need that for the parade. So, it has been unhingeder lately.
I found his tweet about MLK particularly hilarious today.
Definitely not his tweet, but also hilarious.
Who are you trying to fool right now? Because let me share the text of it. It said, today we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on the 50th anniversary of his assassination. Earlier this year, I spoke about Dr. King's legacy of justice and peace and his impact on uniting Americans. Hashtag MLK50. Proclamation. Oh, okay. First of all, there's no typos in it, so clearly you did not write that.
Nothing to do with
this. You had nothing to do with this. Second of all, you literally, your whole message, I'm saying you like he's listening to me, but like his whole message is so counter to all the things.
Yeah.
And further, I don't know if he's familiar with Dr. King's work.
Oh, I'm sure he's not.
I'm sure he's not. I'm sure he was like, I think that's that guy that said the dream thing. Good. Great. Let's go with that. And probably doesn't know anything about that particular speech beyond that. Nor does he know that, in fact, in the weeks leading up to his death, Dr. King had made quite an economic pivot, and he was really focusing after the sanitation worker strike, which was commemorated with the Fight for 15 people, and so like that happened again in Memphis in February this year,
right?
and shamefully, it shows how little has changed in the 50 years since his assassination.
Yeah, really.
But I don't think that Dr. King's message of economic justice is really one that, you know, peacefully meshes with Trump's ideology.
Nope. I think that is truer words have never been spoken. Let's put it that way.
Because I saw that tweet this morning and I laughed out loud with a literal L to the O to the L, because that is ridiculous that he, like, no way. And then the tweet right before that, I'm sorry, not right before. It was, gosh, where is it? Oh, it was a couple of tweets before that. We have, when you're already $500 billion all caps down, you can't lose.
Which, well, let's put a pin in that one, because that's freaking bonkers.
Bonkers.
Yeah, but we need to come back to that. But yeah, that is also pretty far off from Dr. King's overall messaging, I would say. Not to mention the way he would message something.
Yes. 2 hours prior to that, we are not in a trade war with China. That war was lost many years ago by the foolish, or incompetent, people who represented the U.S. Now we have a capital T, capital D trade deficit of 500, capital B, billion a year, with capital I, capital P, capital T, intellectual property theft of another 300, capital B, billion. We cannot let this continue.
Those numbers are total bullshit.
Totally inaccurate.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, there is a trade deficit, but it isn't nearly that.
In other why does he capitalize things strangely news, was just briefed on the shooting at YouTube's HQ in San Bruno, California. Our thoughts and prayers are with everybody involved. Thank you to our phenomenal... Which, impressive, he got phenomenal out the door without a capital P.
Questioning whether he wrote that still, but yes.
But capital L, capital E, capital O, law enforcement officers, and capital F, capital R, first responders that are currently on the scene.
And you know what's really weird is I've always gotten mean emails from people that are grammatically bad, you know, poorly written and whatnot. But now I get a lot of emails from people, pro-Trump people, where they have this bizarre capitalization crap going on. And I'm like, what the hell is it? Like, what? What is the point?
Well, he's a powerful guy who seems to be pretty successful. He must have it right.
Right.
Let's copy him.
Right. It's bizarre. It's like this weird mirroring that's happening. But why he does it? I mean, why the president of the United States?
I'll tell you why. Because he's an idiot.
Well, yeah. I mean, yes, that's it. But the fact that the president of the United States does not have somebody correcting his tweets before they go out is staggering. You know, I mean, it's absolutely staggering when you consider the damage that can be done via one tweet from this guy. I mean, people like to say, well, he's just off the cuff and that's just Twitter. And I'm like, yeah, but he's still the president of the United States. And so sadly, and he hasn't done a press conference in like a year. So sadly, that's kind of one of the primary communication means. And when he tweets something, no matter how stupid it is, it still has to be taken seriously. Despite all of the crazy, right? It's so weird. And I know, like, there's so many things that should bother us and do bother us.
And in fact do.
But a lot of times, it just kind of, I'm like, really? Capital, why did you do that?
It drives me crazy.
Or put things in quotes that for no point. When I was in, we were in Tennessee on break last week.
Why we did not have a show last week, and I fielded all of those tweets. You're welcome.
Sorry. There's that division of labor again.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a sign up in a store that just said, it was like they were looking for people to work there. And it said, you know, we're seeking cashiers, quote marks, inquire, end quote marks, within. And I'm like,
what does that mean?
Is that like some sort of weird code for like some kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what it could be, but it was just bizarre. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, see, there it is again. It's this knucklehead in charge who's creating this trickle-down bizarro language.
He is not making it better, and in fact is perhaps led, you know, if there was pressure to keep your writing of high quality, he has perhaps let some steam off that valve.
Yes.
But that bad spelling and grammar has been a thing for a long time. Remember that book, Eats, Shoots, and Leaves? Do you remember that?
No.
It was basically a call to arms. Everyone carry a red Sharpie and fix signs that are inaccurate.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a funny but smart book. It was like wildly popular, so I think a lot of people were like, oh, it can't be smart. But it was. It was like smart, funny, light read, but good. And it was really all about this very topic. And that was, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, easily, when that book came out.
Time for a reissue, perhaps.
Definitely time for a reissue. Yeah, there is a, gosh, I don't remember what restaurant I was in, because I think I tweeted a picture of this, but like in the restroom stall, there was a sign that said something like, do not put feminine hygiene items in the, quotes, toilet. Like, what did I just pee into if it's not a toilet?
It's a, quote, toilet.
Toilet.
Was it a hole in the ground?
Like, a bucket? Perhaps? What are we doing here? Right.
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
Well, you know where I feel like you and I probably see it the most? In hate mail, there's a lot of like, when someone disagrees, I'm sure you've gotten this note too. I've gotten it many times. It says like, for a, quote, journalist say, insert very accurately vetted information is irresponsible. Well,
right. And there I can almost understand because they're trying to be, you know, like, haha, you're not a real journalist. They're trying to somehow set it off, even though it doesn't make sense and is totally weird.
But yeah, the same thing is powering the misuse of it.
Right, yeah. Dang it. How did we...
How did we get to quotes?
We veered off into a very... very...
nerdy, weird little...
sort of copy editor-ish tangent. But yeah, I totally agree with you on the Martin Luther King tweet. It was preposterous. And when I saw that, too, I was like, you know what? Get that man's name out of your mouth, please. I was like, you have no business... You have no business talking... I mean, honestly, he... I mean...
I don't know why the way you said that was very funny to me.
I do feel like... I think presidents, in when it comes to any kind of day or holiday or anything like that, they're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't, a little bit. I mean, like, you need to acknowledge things. If Trump had not acknowledged Martin Luther King Day, he would have also been lambasted for it. It's just that the problem with him is that he is such a fundamentally bad person that you can, it is impossible to take moments of even, you know, like a properly written sentiment, it's still hard to take it seriously, you know, because, like I said, like just as we did, right away, you know, it's not him. He didn't actually write it. And
so, right. Like, so that's like the moment that we're in, that if something is grammatically correct, clearly the president of the United States did not write it.
Yeah. And it's a weird, but seriously, though, and it's a real big problem, because the president of the United States, I think, really does. We need that. We need that sort of anchor in this country to have some form of seriousness and some form of, like, almost kind of reverence about certain things, historical things, about moments, you know. And it's just hard because even, I mean, you know, I can't, aside from the weird capitalization, you can't criticize the tweet about the soldiers getting killed in a crash. So I don't want to criticize that. But it's just that when he's using the same platform to spout so much nonsense and so much, like, inaccurate just crap and mean-spirited crap, that when you suddenly have a pivot to, we must remember the legacy of Dr. King today, it's like, come on, who the
and
hell
then back to, like, calling people terrible things.
Right,
and,
exactly. Yeah,
when, in fact, look, like, let's be clear. He has done plenty of very racist things.
Right.
So, and plenty of elitist things that are the opposite of economic justice. So, like, actually, why don't you just not say anything?
Right.
Because clearly you are aligned with no part of anything that he stood for.
Yeah, and I think we underestimate the damage that causes us, kind of just as a society.
Say more about what you mean.
Well, okay, so, like, I can think about George Bush in the wake of 9/11. I obviously was not a giant George W. Bush fan. However, I thought he handled that very well. And when he stood up and he, you know, talked about not blaming Muslim, not blaming Islam, for, and he stood at the, you know, by the Twin Towers and spoke in a megaphone, you know, those were that I, as somebody on the entirely opposite side of the ideological fence, I admired that. You know, I thought that was
at the very least you could acknowledge that's the right move. And
yeah, and he was being a good leader. He was, you know, he was doing his best there, right? And I think, although I'm not sure, but I think, you know, reasonable Republicans would acknowledge that there were moments where, like after the Sandy Hook shooting, massacre, where Obama truly, you know, filled that role. And I mean, you know, he was crying while he's, I mean, like, it was a very powerful. And those, I mean, I think any society that has, that is set up this way, where we have a president, you know, we have sort of this overall leader of the country, at least in a sense, you know, you need that. If you don't have that, I think you're somewhat rudderless. And I think that has a, I think that has an impact that we don't really see. It's not, so it's not like a direct, like, oh God, this is screwing us all up, but it's a, just a slow kind of problem. Because I think for so many people who think that Trump is just a you know, a liar, you know, cares only about himself, a narcissist, you know, mean, racist, all these different things, he can't do that. He cannot serve, he is not capable of serving that role. And so we don't have that. And I think that's a problem. Beyond all the multitude of other problems that he presents.
Yeah.
But I just think that that's something that hurts the country in ways that you don't really see. But, you know, it just sort of wears at us in some ways.
I hear what you're saying. I would agree, under the current system, I hear that. I think there are better systems to be had. But I think under the current system, agreed, more leaderly person.
Yeah.
Would be more appropriate.
I'm going to put you down as completely agrees. I'm just kidding.
No.
But wait, I thought there was a but.
No, there's not a but.
Oh, okay.
There's a pivot to another man in power who is a problem, or at least was in power. There is a story, well, it's everywhere, but there is an excellent story at The Hill about the federal judge denying Bill O'Reilly's move to seal his harassment settlements. That's a good one.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, totally. If ever there was a moment for a good sad trombone, that's a pretty good one. So federal judge Deborah Batts of New York ruled yesterday that he failed to present compelling countervailing factors that would overrule public access to the documents. CNN originally had that story. And it's his motion to seal his past harassment settlements. And no, is your answer. No.
So we're going to be learning a little bit about Dirty Bill.
Exactly where I'm going with this. So that means we get to learn a few things.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's great. I mean, I think that is, I mean, so much. I mean, that's kind of what, I guess you could, to some degree, that's been missing a bit in the...
What has? The details?
The details, yeah. Not just in this case, but in a lot of cases, because these powerful men have been able to hide stuff. Trump with, you know, we're seeing it play out now with Stormy Daniels and various other people with the non-disclosure agreements. And so, even in the, you know, as all of these high profile and low, you know, just everywhere, these sexual harassment, sexual assault, all these cases of just rotten, awful men in charge of things.
Abusing power.
Right. We are getting sort of the, I mean, it's like it happened, it came out and it all avalanched so quickly. I don't, is avalanched a word?
Is that a verb?
I don't think that's a verb. I just made it one, though.
Oh, the marketing buzz speak. People have gotten you, Hupke. There was a good one on Twitter today.
What was that?
Someone described a chair that falls apart as Hupke-ing.
Oh yeah, right. I saw that. That made me very happy.
So that verb, happy to be a verb. That word, I will let that go
falling
as a thing.
Happy to be associated with things collapsing. That's a good
right. Yes. Continue.
So anyway, all of this stuff comes out in mass, kind of, and there's too much for it to be questioned as to what, you know, so that's where the heart of the Me Too movement and is, you know, of course, we're like a lot of people are finally acknowledging and saying, yeah, this is going on. This is horrible. But a lot of the details, you know, still, we were doing this without a lot of specific anecdotal details of what really happened. And so when you start seeing something like court documents in a Bill O'Reilly case, you're going to start getting a lot more detail of what happened, as you would if, you know, you got deeper into some of the details of Trump's various alleged affairs, et cetera. So, not just affairs, but alleged assaults as well. So, I think that that's good. I mean, I think it helps because we've kind of already shown just via the sheer number of these cases of powerful men and what they've done for so long
But since to, always.
Well, yeah, exactly. And but to start getting really into the specifics of mm-hmm. it will only help, I think, in sort of showing the awfulness of it all.
So I have a theory about this, but I would first ask you, why do you think that would be useful? Like, say, all is revealed mm-hmm. with Trump, with O'Reilly, like all the men that have, you know, been hit with allegations and have admitted to, like, all the things, all of it comes out.
Because
details. Tell me why you believe it would be. I have a theory, and I'll go there in a minute. But first, you.
Let me mansplain that. Mm-hmm. No, I think just because even with everything right now, you still have a decent number of men, particularly men like sort of older white men, including a lot of the ones who were the very ones accused of this sort yeah. of stuff, playing it down, saying it's not such a big deal, or saying it didn't happen, or boys will be boys, locker room talking, you kind of get all of this pushback. And I think when the actual details come out, it becomes a lot harder. It becomes more appalling because, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, it was just a flirtation mm-hmm. that was misunderstood. It's another thing to see court documents that say he reached his hand up her skirt, she slapped it away, but he kept doing it and said he would fire her. You know what I mean? Like, that is a much more mm-hmm. detailed thing. You get what I'm saying. But, yeah, so that's what I think. I mean, just it's at, like with any greater detail you can get about something like that makes it harder to say, no, that didn't happen, or mm-hmm. no, this doesn't happen, or no, there isn't this kind of male mentality about being able to treat women like their property.
And chattel.
Kind of mm-hmm. Chattel, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, I would take it one step further, though, because I think, I've been thinking about this a lot, I think having things, well, let me pause and say, I can see this from many points of view. However, I tend to believe that on some level, having things shrouded in mystery does play into a notion of, like, very men as sexual conquerors. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, if you talk about women's desire for food, for sex, for success, for anything, it's a problem. It's always a problem.
Yeah.
If it's about sex, then she's, you know, she's going to be completely vilified. If it's about if it's about ambition, then she's a gold digger. If it's about, you know, it's never okay for women to have hunger for anything mm-hmm. ever. So that's A. But when we talk about it with men, it's about conquest. And if it's shrouded in mystery, then it's probably easier to assume that it's like conquest. You know, I did the super manly thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, when it looks predatory, that, you know, that I think there is a fine line between this, like, masculine conquest of virility and then there's like keep going and it starts getting about power.
Sure.
And it gets predatory.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. I agree.
So I think as long as it's shrouded in mystery, it can stay in this, like, boys will be boys, which is horse shit, and locker room talk. Like, here's the thing that's problematic about locker room talk. Plenty of people talk about stuff that's, yeah, like, not for public, right? Plenty of people with their friends say, like, so this is some weird shit that happened to me. That is just a thing people do. The difference, we've started using, and we've talked about this on the show before, but we've gotten in this awful habit, thanks to Trump, of using locker room talk as code for predatory, mm-hmm. which is not it. And so many, I was happy to see, like, so many athletes weigh in and continue weighing in, saying, I make a living in locker rooms, and you're a rapist, actually. Like, don't be that. Don't do that. Yeah. Which is an important, I think we have to keep pushing on that, because because it does two things. Not only does it absolve the person who is saying predatory shit, but it also makes it sound like saying, oh, boys will be boys. It still speaks to women not desire not being okay for women.
Yeah.
And that is a fucking problem, because if from the mildest of, like, if you make an advance towards someone as a woman, you're, like, desperate or some kind of predator or, like, some kind of slut. Like, slut is a social construct. It is used to oppress women that show any sense of desire. So that's, like, a bullshit word we shouldn't even use anyway. But it is a word that gets thrown around a lot. lot.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, probably once a week, probably a little bit less now that I'm older, because that means like age for women is tied to sexual viability. So, but you know, pretty frequently someone on Twitter will be like, shut up, slut. When it's like, I just tweeted something about elephants. Can you not?
Yeah, right.
I was just tweeting about the ivory trade. Can you maybe not call me a slut for that? Yeah. That'd be great.
What did I do to deserve this?
Right. So, yeah. So this is like a long way of saying this, but I think we have to be really careful. What I always say every damn episode, we have to be really careful with language. Mm-hmm. And that like boys will be boys thing is a problem. Now, flip that over. Let's go back to like unsealing details. Mm-hmm. Now, the other part of that is there is consent involved, and there is the potential to re-traumatize somebody in that. And I get that. I hear that. That's fair, right? Because to describe an encounter with someone who is a fucking creep, you can, it's horrifying, right? It's horrifying to experience it. It's horrifying to, you know. And I'm not just talking about like something really brutal. Like plenty of women I know, in fact, most women I know have been grabbed by some stranger. And it's freaky and it's upsetting, and even that to like describe it, you know, like I've told a cop on Michigan Avenue, like this dude just walked by and grabbed me. Where did he touch you? What happened? What was it like? What was it, a rough grab, or was it like what?
Yeah,
you know, you got to sit there and say like, well, he, you know, grabbed my ass cheek. What do you want to say? You know, like you have to say that to a stranger. And even that, you know, so I'm saying like even revealing details can be traumatic.
Yeah.
And it's complicated. Like in summation, it's complicated. But I also think keeping things shrouded in mystery sometimes, given our current way of being, does in many ways contribute to this male sexual conquest kind of culture, which is not to say if you, the person who has survived some kind of encounter like that, choose not to have details shared, I'm not saying you're contributing to it. I'm just saying it's complicated.
Yeah. No,
and there is a reason, I think, why we need to be talking about it more. And I think a lot of times we don't talk about things like that because it's like it's shameful when it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. It should really, unfortunately, it is shameful, and it feels shameful when it should be just like, no, this asshole touched my body without my goddamn permission.
Right.
And it should be really the end of it. But there is like, it's hard not to talk about that kind of thing without being emotional, because it is your body. It's your space.
Sure.
And we have so little agency over it anyway, mm-hmm. that when someone violates it, you're like, Jesus Christ, like what? Am I a public statue?
Yeah,
you know?
Right. No, I mean, it makes sense. I think that, I mean, because like you talk to somebody about harassment on Twitter, and they may be sympathetic to it even and say, yeah, that sucks or whatever. But then you actually show them the kind of crap that happens. And
right.
It happens to me, but it happens far worse to women. I've seen it. I mean, from...
Well, it just goes sexual quicker.
Right,
And
exactly.
Predatory and, like, threatening.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But, I mean, either way, I mean, I've shown people stuff, and they're like, holy crap. I mean,
totally. Just changes. I've seen some tweets at you that I've been like, Jesus Christ, I better check on Rex.
Yeah, they go... And so, I think it's the same thing. I mean, people... Mm-hmm. And it's not really the sympathetic people that I'm concerned about. It's more the people who are like, oh, who gives, you know, just suck it up.
Suck it up, yeah.
Right. And then you show them and they're like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
I had no idea. Right. So then they really understand. So, yeah, I just think it's, you know, it's like shining a brighter light on a very bad thing. And, you know, anytime you can. I also think it helps more broadly because it makes it makes it less acceptable. Like when people see something, when they see something and they're reviled by it, even if before maybe they gave sort of tacit, like just, well, whatever, you know, to it, then they become more, it becomes less socially acceptable. Not that it should be acceptable in any way, but you know that.
Yeah. So, well, it goes from like theory to specificity, undeniable. Exactly. Here are the words said. Here was the thing done. Suddenly it's not like theoretical of like, it's easy in our heads to go like, he hit on her. No, he touched her body without her consent. He assaulted her. He did, you know, then it becomes like, oh, then you picture that. You go, oh, yeah, that would be really horrifying. Okay. Yeah.
So if you previously disliked Bill O'Reilly, prepare to dislike him even more.
Double down on the dislike, because that is some shit that is about to occur.
And I, yeah. And also, ew.
Also, ugh, that guy. Nothing. Ugh, yeah, like right. He like
not that it would make it better, but
no,
you know,
not
it's
that
still
like
just,
I don't care if it's like I don't care anyone's level of attractiveness. You don't get to be a predator if you're like, but for whatever reason, it tends to be very unattractive.
Yeah,
old white guys right now.
Exactly. Pruny, yeah.
Right. Like, I'm pretty sure nobody wants to see that, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting, and I imagine that will because, and that's the other thing with Trump too, is that, and all of his many great flaws and you know dirt and skeletons and stuff, is that so?
And spray tans, don't forget the
spray
tans,
of course. If this comes out, this O'Reilly stuff comes out, it's going to draw people over to say, well, wait a minute, what about all the Trump stuff that's being
possibly
you know, quashed? Not that they'll be able to get it then, but it's just still everything. When you're a bad person in a position of that's sort of centrally focused on by everybody, everything that happens that relates even tangentially to your badness is going to shine the light back on you, which is another problem to have a president who's in that kind of a position.
Yeah, I think the other issue, like in particular, the Trump Stormy Daniels stuff. There's another potential there, right? Because there's the potential of him mistreating her, but also the and many other women that he definitely has been accused of mistreating. But in the case of a consensual or at some point consensual relationship, there's the other factor, which is very fascinating. And that is if something comes out that's potentially humiliating or emasculating or something like that, then like you don't get to be Mr. like fucking sexual conquest tough guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like suddenly your little narrative of being this like sexy guy who women want. When you like wanted to, I don't know, like, you know, hey, do whatever you need to do to get off and do your thing, let your freak flag fly and all that. But like, you know, if it's something like he wanted her to like slap him and call her mommy and
I'm hoping he
wear, you know, like a baby suit or something. Right. You know, like, if it's something like that, like we're going to get a good laugh out of that. Producer Jasmine's in there shaking her head like, oh, hands are up. She's like, no, with the baby suit.
I'm hoping he asked her. I'm hoping he asked her to call him Obama.
Oh my God! Right? I can't. My head can't even go there. Okay, I bet you. He's into like adult baby stuff.
Yeah.
If that's your thing,
sure.
That's fine.
Strap that diaper on, man.
But like the public persona of like I'm this tough. Yeah. Virile man.
Right. He's gonna. I alone can take care of these problems.
Right. Like I'm gonna, you know, hit this other guy, and he's gonna cry on the way down. Like, please do not.
Get me my binky.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting things that could unfold. Don't know, but they're fun to think about.
So I don't know how to tell this story without really being like revealing a lot of people's like. Yeah, okay. I can tell the story. I know somebody who makes, like, I haven't talked to this person in a long time, but makes, like, a lot of custom attire. And once in a while gets approached about something really creative.
Mm-hmm.
Like an adult baby outfit, something like that. Yeah. Like something for sexual, like something to speak to a
like
fetish.
Like a role-playing kind of thing.
Yeah, and this person is like, hey, as long as your check clears, I don't give a shit. Like, do whatever. Yeah. And, this conversation prompted me to go interview, because I was going to write about this at one point. Mm-hmm. Shockingly, no editor wanted this story. It's the weirdest thing. But I went and like spoke to some other people who do custom type of work for the BDSM and fetish communities, and talked to someone who makes like some mascot stuff. And now I would have to completely re-report this story, because this was like 15 years ago. But the theme with all of the people I talked to was generally like, yes, I've had to sign a lot of non-disclosure agreements when people of profile come up, and obviously they're not going to talk about that, but what kept kind of getting hinted at and echoed was it's exactly what you think, and that like the people that make a lot of noise about being moral and heteronormative and mm-hmm. all of that kind of stuff tended to be the clientele here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, of course that's the thing, right? It's like, if you're protesting that hard about, you know, everybody needs this family with 2.5 kids and a right. heterosexual couple and blah, 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 then all of those things, if that's your definition of family and abstinence and all that bullshit, then, like, of course that person's going to be caught handcuffed to a radiator in a leather bunny suit. Like, of course they are.
They're dressed up like Snoopy.
Totally. Totally. So, again, I'm not, like, absolutely do whatever it is you do to get off. Like, I think sex is healthy and normal and you should explore it fully as long as everybody's consenting and nobody's getting hurt and it's fine. But, like, just be real about it.
Yeah.
Don't be a weirdo and be like, if you're not having missionary sex with its hetero, then you're something's wrong with you. And then, because I guarantee you, if you say that, I'm going to read about your bitch ass in the paper
right. Doing
some other shit. When it's like, don't look, if you repress shit, it's going to come out somewhere.
Yeah.
That applies to getting your freak on. That applies to grief. That applies to anger. That applies to everything. If you repress it, it will come out somewhere else. So just do you, man. Like, just, like, let's not have this, oh, if men cry, that's a problem. Like Trump was saying, he'll cry all the way down after I hit him. Like, don't, no. And let's not, like, suppress, like, sexual stuff. Like, just do you, and everybody, like, we're going to be a lot more okay once we all just be ourselves.
Oh, God, it would be so, yeah, it would be infinitely better. It'd be funny if there was a conservative politician who had a very specific thing that he was deeply offended by. Like, he's like, we must take a stand against people who get their noses tickled with ostrich feathers by nuns
while getting called a woman's name.
Yes,
what?
Right, by male nuns.
Yeah, right. Some really specific thing.
Sir, that seems a bit specific. Well, no, no, not at all.
But I mean, I think, I'm trying to think, who was the, like, very famously, as soon as we turn off the mics, I'm going to think of who that was. Like, very famously, this politician was so, it was like a state level person, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, somewhere over there. But it was like,
there's been many who.
Yes, yeah. But this one was, like, so scandalous because it was like, I think they're like secret partner outed. I don't remember. But anyway, it was like this person had spent years talking about, like, anyone who even says the word gay is going to hell and
right,
is such
yeah.
a problem. And then, like, oh, but the man I sleep with? No, yeah. No, that's not. No, no. Like,
that's totally cool.
I mean, the hypocrisy is a problem. And, yeah. But again, you suppress things, they will come out in other places.
Yeah, I agree with that. So
Bill O'Reilly.
Yes. Oh, Bill.
I don't even want to guess. I don't even want to speculate.
I don't either.
Because it's going to be horrible and gross. And, like, anyone that has been, you know, targeted for any of that kind of bullshit is, it's, you know, unfortunate and it's shitty. But I'm sure, however we imagine him being, I am sure it will be worse.
Yeah, totally.
And he's a scumbag.
Yeah, he is. And he's been, you know, he hasn't shut up. Like, when given what happened with him, he needed to just shut the fuck
Maybe
up.
Maybe just go away.
Yeah. But
he needs a handler to be like, reel it in.
Yeah, he was piping up the other day about Laura Ingraham.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we haven't even talked about that shit.
And everybody was like, come on, dude. Like, go away, man. That's just ridiculous.
We haven't talked about Ingraham, and we're, like, running out of time.
Yeah. Well, she's horrible. You know, she started out.
Insummation, horrible.
Like, she started out, like, in college, outing gay kids.
Yeah, she's been horrible from the jump.
I have zero. I mean, and I love the thing, just very quickly, because you're right, we're almost out of time, but again, with these Parkland students, I love how unflappable they are. Because, like, with her.
Yeah. Nope. They're just like, nope.
It's like, shut up. And again, I knew this was going to happen to some degree. I did not think that people on the right, including, I mean, Ingraham is awful, but is a relatively prominent, you know, Fox News person and all that. I didn't think that they would just become absolute dicks to teen school shooting survivors that quickly, like, or even at all. I mean, it's stunning. I mean,
just ignore.
Right.
But
I mean,
yeah,
she,
no,
like,
the mocking,
like, and it is just making them, it's given them fits, and it's so funny to watch because, again, these kids, they're going to have their own issues. You know, they may overplay their hands somehow. Who knows? But they're kids, and I mean, look, they're going to do what they're going to do, and they're not doing anything, you know, I mean, whatever. Let them do what they're going to do. But yeah, it's absolutely driving them batshit insane.
And so much of the you know, vibe of it is in the, like, clutch the pearls. Well, I never. Like,
right.
It's so much
a
of, like, the
using
the wealthy dowager countess is so offended by you not using the Debrett's manual. Yeah. Like, it's so funny and mockable,
yeah.
Really.
It really is. It's outstanding. And, yeah, they even, what was it? Oh, it was O'Reilly who said something about the kid that Ingram went after, about how there's, like, some liberal cabal backing him up. No, he said shadowy liberal something or other, implying like George Soros or whatever. And so the kid got on CNN or something, and there's, you know, they're doing a live shot with him, and he like looks behind himself, and he's like, I don't see any shadowy anything coming after me. I don't know.
And these kids
are just like, fuck you. Like, they just do not care, and it's brilliant. I love it because it twists these people into knots.
Yeah. So. I wonder what the next step is. I worry a little about the kids because it's awesome and they're doing all the things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I do worry a little bit about that translating into responsibility before they can take it. And I don't mean like, let's not give them too much power. Like, it's not about giving. Like, they're taking the power they want,
right,
and that's cool.
Yeah.
But I do kind of worry, you know, like people that get a lot or achieve a lot early sometimes kind of crash and burn.
Totally, yeah.
Or get out a little over their skis and they're like, shit, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be handling all of that pretty well, kind of taking it thing by thing. I think there's been some conversations about also grieving and also dealing with themselves during this, which I think is really important. But I kind of worry. I just don't want to see it get fucked up.
It will. I mean, I really believe it will.
Maybe.
I'm not saying it's their fault, but I'm not.
It's not their fault at all. It's ours. Because
right,
immediately,
be...
like, we started making jokes like, oh my God, let's elect Emma to office. Yes. When she's had time to get there.
Right.
When she is.
They will be.
Learned constitutional law and done her thing. And when she's 35. And like, sure.
Yeah.
If that's what she wants.
Right.
She may not want that. She may say, that's a thing. I'm going to go back to the career plan I had before all this bullshit happened. We don't know.
Yeah.
And I worry we're going to kind of like force them into stuff. And I worry for them a little bit. They seem smart. They seem
they do.
Very smart kids.
I would never wish an ounce of ill on any of them. But they will, I believe, because of us, they will be corrupted to some degree. Somebody's going to get a book deal or something.
Yeah.
And then other people are going to get jealous. And then it's going to cause fractures.
Who knows?
And people are going to start saying crap. And it just sucks. And I hope it doesn't happen. Maybe they've already proven themselves so much smarter than most of us. Like, you know,
I worry about them making bad choices or them imploding.
Right.
You know, more than like what we say about them.
Correct. Yeah. No. Not them doing anything maliciously or
no,
even.
No, no,
but
no.
Just, and, you know, because again, they're kids. I mean, you know, that they are acting far beyond their years to their credit. But at the end of the day, they're still kids. I mean, and there's going to be things, opportunities and things like that are going to come up that will have potentially corrupting effects on them or just, I don't know.
But you know what? We can only say that through the filter of ourselves in high school.
Right. Yeah. Maybe they'll be fine.
And when I was 17, I was an idiot.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm much better now. Yeah. I'm just more aware of my stupidity.
I can certainly say that if I was their age and high profile people were coming at me right and left, I would have been clucking like a chicken by now. And they appear to be just, you know,
pretty unfazed by the whole
thing. Pretty So, yeah, they're a different breed, really. I mean,
good. We need them.
Yeah.
We need them. Well, we're out of time already.
Womp, womp.
That's the thing. I was going to talk about that Washington Post thing.
Oh, the Jewish thing? Yeah, that was pretty fucking weird.
I got lots of words. I could fill a whole fucking podcast
That got totally... I wanted to bring that up, too, actually, because
I sent a couple of very measured tweets. I don't want to... Here's the thing. Like, I'll say this only. I sent a couple of tweets and had some conversation with some people I know on Twitter about it, and... One person was like, oh, I thought you were all about women's voices. And I was like, I am. And I didn't say anything mean. I can be critical.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was mean or rude. I just said I disagree.
Yeah.
And I thought that she positioned herself so clearly in opposition to Jewish women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm clean. I wear pearls. I love to clean. I'm tidy. I'm this. I have good manners. I'm that. Like, like she really put a big divide to like paint us Jewish women in a in an yeah, it was problematic. And also like we're talking about two men.
Yeah, it was weird. And also, you know, and a lot of people made this argument too, but I blame the writer, sure, but I think whoever the editor was on that also bears a large amount of responsibility for being like, okay, yeah.
Do we know who that editor was?
I don't think it's ever come forth. But but
it's a questionable choice.
Very.
If someone pitched me that story, I would have been like,
yeah.
What's your news hook, Chief? I mean, I wouldn't.
There's a lot of you could shoot holes in that.
A lot, but I wanted to say you can discuss something critically and you can disagree with it without attacking the person. I mean, I said I disagree with some choices she made and how she characterized herself and Jewish women.
Mm.
But like, I don't hate her. I don't care anything about her.
Yeah, right.
I've actually run into her online a couple times. Fine, she's fine.
Yeah,
but I just disagree with that a lot, and I think it was really problematic. And yeah, it sparked a lot of interesting conversation, though.
Yeah,
you don't see like a lot of times like neo-Nazi stuff happens in Jewish Twitter. We all just go to DMs and just talk to each other. But like, I don't see Jewish Twitter like exploding too much. And we were all like, hell no! Like we all jumped in on that. So
I can't believe I haven't been invited into Jewish Twitter.
You gotta earn it. As all of my regular listeners will tell you, Rex Hupke, it is part of the media conspiracy and the banking conspiracy.
Of course.
And we own Hollywood. So until you have vast riches and own those things, at that point, we'll have a bar mitzvah for you. It'll be good.
I can be part of the New World Order.
But on that note, everybody, happy Passover if that's your thing. Happy belated Easter. All those things. All right. We'll see you next time.